This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that's all about finding the little bit of homo in every film. I'm joined today by none other than Alan Tuxford.
Hi, Kylie.
I'm Kylie Eddy. Forgot my own name.
So you
name.
Are.
Forgot my own name for the moment. Our regular co-host, Paul Tonto, is at the Adelaide Film Festival this weekend. So Alan has stepped into the fray to help us bring you all of the movie review news this week.
And it's good to be here.
What films are we going to be talking about today, Alan?
Well, one film that I was really looking forward to, Conviction with Hilary Swank.
Is that because I built it up a little, maybe?
Oh, that too, and also the trailer. It looked fantastic. And Hilary...
Oh, she's wonderful. Amazing, right?
Sam Rockwell. Yeah. So, definitely really wanted to see that. And the girl who kicked the hornet's nest.
The final in the trilogy.
The final, yeah. I wasn't really looking forward to that, but yeah.
Oh, you might have been swayed.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about Melbourne Queer Film Festival, the program launch, some of the films coming up there, and a little bit on Oscar buzz, because the Oscars are on next week.
Yeah, so the Oscars are on Monday, and actually this year they're being telecast live as they happen during the day, and also then they'll be repeated in the evening if you have to do something silly like work.
So what time during the day?
Will I think it's noon. I think it starts.
Noon.
For those in the know, there actually is a, as the feed comes in live, there's actually a little... film distributors kind of soiree that always happens, and it used to be really fantastic because they didn't broadcast it at the same time.
Okay.
But now everyone just gets to see it on their TVs at the same time, so it's not quite as special.
So everyone's going to be doing video streaming at work, I take it.
Probably.
You know?
Because I hate finding out the winners. Yeah. When you actually, it spoils watching the telecast.
It does. Oh. It does. It's a news-free zone that day.
Yeah, it's very challenging.
Yep.
Also,
no,
I guess
newspapers.
You can't go on Facebook. Oh, forget about it.
People
leaking on Facebook.
That's it. It's a blackout.
No, media blackout.
Media blackout.
So, but, you know, it's not until Monday. So we're going to have a chat about a bit of the Hollywood goss plus the best film category, which for the second time this year, there are actually 10 films in the best film category.
Can you believe that?
I know.
10 films?
It's quite extreme. Ugh. What we thought we'd do, though, for a bit of fun is that we've got a couple of double passes to give away to the girl that kicked the hornet's nest, thanks to CG Publicity. So in order to go in the draw to win those, you must be a Joy 94.9 member.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have won anything in the last 2 weeks. And you have to answer a very simple question. And it's not a true or false or, you know, there's no grading. It's purely objective, non-objective, subjective.
Mm-hmm.
What film do you think should win Best Picture at the Oscars this year?
Wow, that's going to be contentious.
It is. So maybe when we come back, we'll read out the full list.
We want the reason why. We want a reason why.
Oh,
not just
say the film.
No, I want to know why.
Really?
That's too easy.
Oh, it's pretty
hard. Come
on. It's pretty hard to choose from 10 films, don't you think?
Yeah, but they have to give us a reason why they like one over the other.
Oh, God.
Sorry, tough today. See the whip?
Wow.
I'm cracking it.
I thought that was just for fun. So we've got heaps to talk about today. We just wanted to say a quick thanks to Pete Dillon from Cravings. Always does an amazing job. And also, we're really happy to have Adam Todd from Bandcamp. He's coming up after our show, but he's pushing the buttons for us today. So if you'd like to get involved, you can always give us an SMS on 0427JOY949 and tell us what film you'd like to win a Best Picture at the Oscars, or email onair@joy.org.au, or also you can contribute on Facebook. Just search for Pink Popcorn, and we'll put a little call out on there so you can put your feedback straight onto Facebook if you'd like.
Yep.
So don't hold back.
No, don't. Go for it. We want to hear from you.
We do. This is Pink Popcorn on Joy 94.9 with Kylie and Alan.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Alan on Joy 94.9. Conviction is based on a true story of Betty Ann Waters. She's a high school dropout who spent nearly 2 decades working as a single mother while putting herself through law school. She was tirelessly trying to beat the system and overturn her brother's unjust murder conviction.
Kenneth Waters, you're under arrest for the murder of Katerina Brown.
Are you out of your mind? we find the defendant guilty, Your Honor. I'll get you out, Kenny! You hear me?
Oh, that sounds so... The slamming of the bars. It's very scary. So, this is the new Hilary Swank film. Alan, what did you think of Conviction?
You know, I was really looking forward to this film. When I saw the previews, I thought, wow, I really want to see this. This looks amazing. This woman has sacrificed her life.
Yeah.
She's on a crusade and she's out there to save her brother. You know, I've got goosebumps just thinking about it.
They really milked the trailer. It's a great trailer.
Oh, yeah. It was like, the anticipation and the excitement for it was phenomenal. And then what happened yesterday? Very excited to get into the film. And then, it's kind of like, you know, the hot air balloon slowly deflating.
Yes.
Well, you know, from my point of view, I felt that the direction was lacking. I felt that there was a fantastic story, a fantastic human interest story. I really wanted to go on this emotional roller coaster with this woman, and it didn't happen.
Did you feel like it was too melodramatic? Is that what you were?
No, I don't think it was melodramatic at all. It was very flat. I found it flat until the end.
I had a very different experience of this film because I found this a bit of a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
And I quite like Hilary Swank doing what she does best, where she plays these characters that are often based in real life. And, you know, there's lots of heartache and she's lots of struggling. She's the underdog and she normally has to make huge sacrifices. And I just think Hilary Swank at her best. And for me, this really delivered. I must have been just in the right frame of mind to just go with the story and just be really taken along for the ride and just, you know, just go with it.
Yeah, well, I'd have to agree. Hilary was fantastic.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She was amazing.
Yeah, this is her wheelhouse, though.
Her wheelhouse?
Yeah, this is what she does best.
This is what she does best. So she was, you know, she was tapping into that.
Angsty, cryy.
Yes. Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah, she was. Talk about powerful. Woman taking no rubbish.
She was out for it. Yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah, so she was brilliant. But did you not find that here she is? She's married, love of her life. Her marriage breaks down. And then later on, her kids decide to leave her because, you know, they'd rather spend time with her parent, with her father, with their father.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you really feel that she felt that? She was so driven. I think all we got was is that she only had one thing in her life. She had one direction
to
in her life.
To get her brother out.
To get her brother out. And everything else sort of paled.
Well, that kind of feels like that's the story to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I do get that there's a sense of, another bad thing happens. But I think that's maybe because it is a true life story. It takes quite a long span because, I mean, she basically has to, she hasn't even got a high school education. She has to put herself through law school, and then pass the bar exam before she can get her brother. It's quite remarkable, really.
It is.
So it is over the space of like 25 years.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of how do you possibly condense a life into, you know, an hour and a half.
True.
For a film. So there are a few moments that maybe feel a little bit that.
I mean, you know what? It did make me think as well. There was one line in the movie where her brother was telling her he found tremendous comfort from her knowing that she was out there rooting for him, going to war for him, batting for him, and knowing that she loved him so much.
Yeah.
And that was just incredibly touching.
And I think it's we have to mention Sam Rockwell's performance, who plays the brother. He is such a gifted actor, and he really embraces these character roles. I think sometimes with Sam, if you give him a little bit too much rope, he does certainly steal scenes.
Oh, yeah.
People might remember him as a character actor, and he plays like the baddie in Charlie's Angels, for example.
Yes.
He likes doing some dancing.
Yes.
He kind of steals the scene from Drew Barrymore a little bit.
Yep.
And he's also had some roles in Iron Man 2, for example. Or, you know, he kind of does that Hollywood stuff where he plays the baddie guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot take your eyes off him. In this, I really felt like it harks back to some of his earlier material where he just becomes the character. You kind of forget. He is a cheeky rogue, and you can see why he gets in trouble, and Sam Rockwell really encapsulates that in his performance. But you do feel like there's something real underneath.
Yeah, Yeah, Sam is amazing. You're talking about guilty pleasures. He's one of my guilty pleasures. I love watching him.
Wow. Have you seen the film Moon?
I have seen the film Moon. Knockout.
It's great. I mean, and that Knockout is really a film where he is the only character.
Mm-hmm.
He plays different versions of himself in this kind of like a sci-fi, it's a totally underrated film.
It was.
Go rent it on DVD if you haven't seen it and you like the idea of Sam Rockwell, because it is such... How he manages to get emotion from himself playing himself. Hard to explain.
I first saw him in Green Mile.
Ah, oh, yes.
That's where he first came to my attention. Yeah. And ever since then, I can't get enough.
Yeah, I mean, he also plays, he's one of his really early films is Lawn Dogs, which is a great little, another hidden gem. I mean, we are going back to 1997 now. Uh-huh. And it stars a young Misha Barton. In that shop. I know, when she was before, she's like, whoa. I don't know, she's 12 or something. So it's, they kind of have an unlikely friendship. So that's another one to check out. Look, there are some other really great supporting characters in this. Minnie Driver, I think, is excellent. Feels like she's finding her way back. Absolutely. Juliette Lewis is hilarious as this drugged out.
I was howling. Yes.
She looks, I mean, normally she looks kind of ordinary, but she really takes it to some dark places. And it's worth mentioning as well, Melissa Leo plays a hardened cop who's out to get this family.
I have a bone. I have a bone to pick.
Really?
She is a fantastic actress.
Yes.
We saw her in The Fighter just recently.
Yes. She's up for an Oscar for her role in that.
Best supporting actress, yes. And talk about underutilized in this film. I mean, there was a rich vein of character there and also of story, and we missed it.
I did feel like there was going to be more along that, but it doesn't really... I mean, she plays quite a pivotal role, this character, but you're right. Yes. It is a little bit on the tiny side.
You know, and I felt that there could have been a whole lot more friction going on between her and Hilary Swank, but no, wasn't to be.
That's a shame. So there's not much gayness in this film, is there?
Apart from Sam. We see his bum. We see his bum. We do.
So that's just per factor, I guess. It's not necessarily...
Per factor.
Yeah, he's
And Hillary's husband's kind of... He's kind of...
I mean, look, I mean, I think Hillary, obviously, for the ladies out there, after her performance in Boys Don't Cry, she'll always have our gay heart.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously, you know, that Hillary has that. But in terms of this film, it is, I mean, it's super mainstream. It's, Hollywood all over.
Yeah.
So zero on the queer content.
Like, even the prison scenes, zero.
I know, there were no prison guards or...
No.
No, it was no. There was no shower scenes or
anything.
No, no, very
disappointing. From that point of view, yes.
From that point of view. But what did you give... Have you decided on a star rating for this film?
I have. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give it a 3.
Wow. Okay, Alan's giving it 3 out of 5 stars. Mm-hmm. I have been slightly more generous because I really enjoyed this. My guilty pleasure has bumped this score up to... I'm giving it 4 out of 5
stars. Whoa, 4 stars.
I know. It's a little bit... I might be being a little bit on the generous side, but...
Can I have $20 later? So you say you're being so generous?
So you want to pay for your film, going to the film?
Yes.
No, you can't. Look, if you like Hillary, I'm sure this is bound to impress.
Yeah.
We're also running a poll today to go in the prize draw to win two double passes to The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, which we'll be reviewing up next. And we're asking you, what film do you think should win the best picture in the Academy Awards this year? Now, it's quite a long list. Do you want to quickly read out some of the films? Or let's just do them all.
Get them out of the way. 127 Hours.
Great.
Black Swan.
Excellent.
The Fighter.
Also good.
Inception. The Kids Are All Right.
Fantastic.
The King's Speech. The Social Network. Toy Story 3. True Grit and Winter's Bone.
I mean, how do you really compare all those films? It's like comparing apples and oranges, but that's what they have to do at the Oscars, and we're forcing you to do it as well. So please pick your favourite, and you can SMS us in on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. You must be a Joy Melbourne member, and you also kind of won a prize in 2 weeks, and we'll put everyone in the draw and we'll read out which film seemed to be leading the race. Is The Sneaky Sound System with UFO. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Alan on Joy 94.9.
Gay and Lesbian Radio, Joy 94.9.
That was Call Your Girlfriend by Robin. This is a Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Alan, and we're now going to review The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. After taking a bullet to the head, Sandler is under close supervision in a hospital and is set to face trial for attempted murder on her eventual release. With the help of journalist Michael Bloomquist and his researchers at Millennium Magazine, Selena must prove her innocence, and in doing so she plays against powerful enemies and her own past.
The unmissable final chapter of the most talked about cinematic event is finally here. Based on the international bestseller by Stieg Larsson, the full-blown literary and movie phenomenon of the girl with the dragon tattoo will be concluded.
That's The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. Of course, that's from the trailer, and because it's a foreign language film, it's mainly the voiceover dude talking about the story, but it kind of sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, this is the third in the trilogy.
Yeah.
Alan, how did you feel about this film?
Well, Kylie, I was of two minds when I went to see this, because I haven't seen the second film.
Oh, that's really hard.
And the reason being was because everyone bagged the second film.
Well, that's no excuse. You have to go and see it for yourself.
I know. But you know, in a sense, I'm actually so pleased that I didn't see the second film, because it had that element of mystery.
Oh, because you didn't know what was going on.
I had no idea what was going on. There was that whole part. So, yeah, so that was great. So I was kept on the edge of my seat from that point of view. But you know, I have to tell you, I love this film. I really enjoyed it. And a big part of it has to do with the character of...
Oh, I mean, she's amazing.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Oh, riveting, riveting. I can't take my eyes off her, especially when she gets into her gear.
Oh, well, there is one moment where for the first half of the film, she is recovering from a bullet to the head. So she is lying in a hospital bed.
She's a superwoman.
She's pretty amazing. Uh-huh. And then once she kind of is deemed fit enough, she is moved into a prison awaiting trial. And that's where she kind of does super sexy one-armed push-ups and all this kind of thing. And then when she finally makes her way into the courtroom, I mean, basically this is a courtroom drama for all intents and purposes.
It is.
And... she hasn't been able to have her makeup and her hair done. And you think going into the court, she's going to be, you know, in a suit or whatever.
No.
She's rocking it out like a punk chick with her hair up in a great big kind of...
mohawk.
Mohawk and all her piercings and black leather. It's a fantastic moment when she walks into the courtroom.
She is, as I said, riveting.
Yeah.
Brilliant. To watch that. And also, too, the whole the espionage that's going on in the background. So we've got the Russian spy, we've got the secret agency,
yes.
we've got the old dudes.
The old dudes.
On there, one's dying of cancer, one has got, you know, kidney disease.
And they're still trying to, you know, control.
And they're lethal.
And do, you know, keep the secret society alive.
Yeah, one thing for me, though, is that we really didn't understand who they were and what they were about. I have to admit, I did find that a little...
I've seen all three films, and I did find that a little bit confusing at times about... I mean, I guess I just kind of go with it and go, oh, it's a secret society, whatever.
Yep.
I think that for those people who have read the books, they will have a greater insight into how all of that works.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much in the film. It really didn't distract for me from enjoying the film.
No.
But there is quite... It's very... This film in particular is the most plot-heavy of them all, because basically it is rounding out things that have been set up in the last two films. So the last two films were quite action-packed, I felt, and this film was... There wasn't as much action.
That's true. It was really...
a set in the hospital and in the courtroom with some kind of espionage around the outskirts.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly stuff happens and lives are in danger and, you know, killers on the loose and all that sort of stuff. But there's a lot more serious talking in this film.
Absolutely. And there was also, I think most of the tension really came about from, is Lisbeth, is she really going to get trapped again?
Yes.
Is she going to get screwed over by the system again?
Yes.
Will she prevail?
Though she's so fantastic that you kind of think, oh, she's going to kick ass.
She is.
Yeah.
She is. I just couldn't take my eyes off her, and I can't wait to see her, this particular actress, in her next projects.
So Naomi Rapoport, who I might have pronounced that incorrectly, but I'm sure someone will correct me if that's the case. She has kind of made a transition into English-speaking films now. Mm-hmm. She's a pretty big star in Sweden, where this is obviously where this comes from. There's actually a Millennium series where she plays this character on TV.
It's really
ongoing. It's a TV miniseries. There's 6 episodes outside of these 3 films.
Oh, I see. So they've sort of taken the story further. Yes. So she's like a heroine.
I guess so. I haven't seen it. Would love to see it.
Anti-sort of heroine. Oh, yeah.
But she has kind of been cast in the new Sherlock Holmes film, which is in post-production now. So she'll be seen in that. And I think she's got an amazing career. What is one of the kind of weird things is, though, that, because Hollywood can't stand a foreign language film, we have to make it into English and do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. David Fincher, who is the director of The Social Network, an incredible director, obviously things like The Fight Club and Seven and Benjamin Button, he's an amazing, amazing director. He is actually filming the English language version of this film currently.
And it's going to be shot in Canada, isn't it?
They might be shooting. I mean, he's in location. So I'm not.
That's what I heard.
Really? You sure they're not actually going to Sweden?
Possibly.
I'm
completely wrong.
Why won't we check our facts on that? Though it could be right. I know it's not shooting in the US, but Canada is not that far away.
It's not that far away, but it's pretty cold up there.
I guess depending on where they shoot it.
But you know what? I am actually looking forward to the Hollywood version.
I wonder if they will
to
push
what
it
do
quite
it.
As far. I mean, look, David Fincher is quite an edgy director. He does push things pretty far, so it will be interesting. Daniel Craig is playing the main detective guy.
The journalist, publisher. Yes.
And Rooney Mara she's kind of an unknown. I mean, obviously actresses were fighting to get this role, but she has kind of just, she hasn't really, she's got a very small part in The Social Network. Obviously that's where David Fincher came across her, but I think they really wanted an unknown so that there was none of that baggage that comes with it.
Yeah, so they wanted that impact. Yeah, so look, new actress.
Look, if you love the books, you're really going to enjoy the conclusion of this film. It brings everything together. I mean, the only thing I would say is slight at the end where everything's kind of resolved. It's a bit, that was, it's all done now. I guess go have a nap.
That's it. Yeah, I know.
It's a little bit anticlimactic at the end.
Yeah.
But it is a fantastic round out to the first. I mean, the first film for me is amazing.
Oh,
the second film, kind of you need to get the detail in order to really enjoy the third, but that didn't seem to impact you.
No, did not.
What would you give this film?
I am going to give this 3.5.
Wow, 3.5.
Possibly even a 4.
Make up your mind, don't.
3.5.
Pressure.
Done.
I'm going to give this a 3.5 as well. Okay. So we're both on the same page on this one. Okay. If you'd like to win tickets to go a double pass to go and see this film, all you have to do is SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au and tell us what film you think is going to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. We're not going to hold you to it. We're not going to ask for the tickets back if you don't guess the correct answer, just what you would like it to win, and then you can go in the draw. We'll be drawing it before the end of the show, so please let us know. I think that it's really between The King's Speech and The Social Network
and
who's going to actually take out the best picture.
Yep.
Why don't we discuss that a little bit more when we come back, but in the meantime let's have some more music. This is Cut Copy with Lights and Music. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Alan on Joy 94.9.
Gay and Lesbian Radio, Joy 94.9.
That was Florence and the Machine with Rabbit Heart, and this is Pink Popcorn with Alan and Carly on Joy 94.9. Now, there was it's not quite the Oscars, but there was another event that's very important to our community that happened last week that you attended. Alan, where did you trot off to with your glass of champers?
Well, actually, I didn't have champagne, I just had water.
Oh, so golly.
I was feeling a little bit under the weather. We've got the same sort of murky.
There's a bit of a sickness going around the studio today.
I have to admit, I did have one sip of champagne. It was pretty good. Before I go further, it's actually, I went to the program launch of Melbourne Queer Film on Wednesday night. Yeah.
The Queer Film Festival is about to start goes from the 17th to the 27th of March. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at the program in quite some detail and dedicating a whole show to, there's so many incredible films.
There is.
So what's the program launch all about?
Well, the program launch really is an opportunity for the festival to showcase the actual program itself. Yeah. So when you walk in the door, there is programs galore, and everyone's greedily holding their program to themselves and eagerly awaiting the chance to sit down and plow through it, which is exactly what I did. And so we have an opportunity for a few speeches and a preview of a couple of the films, and then it's an opportunity just to mingle and chat and talk about what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think what is also great about this event is it's not elitist in the sense that if you're a member of MQFF, you actually get invited along to the program launch. So, you know, plus the usual, you know, media and whatever junkets else are there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're really a supporter of the Queer Film Festival, then you also are involved in this. And I guess I'm a member myself, and obviously I used to work for the organisation, so I know a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. Haven't been involved at all this year, so I was so excited to get the program. But it is really, for those people who are hardcore about wanting to get their tickets and go through the program and work out what they're going to see, it's a great night.
Without a doubt, I think there are going to be some really popular films, and you're going to have to get in early and book those tickets because they are going to sell out.
I mean, you can just go online if you just search for Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Yeah. The program is actually, there's an electronic version online. I think they've got an iPhone app. Who doesn't these days? If only I had an iPhone, then I would be apped out.
Kylie.
I know.
We have talked about this numerous times. It is... You're ready. You are ready for an iPhone.
Oh, really, God, so sad.
But you know what was good? Mayor.
Mayor,
I have to tell you.
Yeah?
He really knows how to work a crowd.
Even the gays. They are a tough audience.
In fact, at one point there, he was talking about a recent Also Foundation event that he went to. It's 21st birthday as well.
Wow.
And anyway, he was handing over the key to a drag queen and saying... quote unquote, he says, here's the key to the door, a door that's never been opened before. And we're all wondering, what door are we talking about here? And anyway, he was talking about, you know, he'd like to, you know, give a performance. And I reckon if we had a spare wig and a spare set of heels, he would have been up for it.
Well, you have to remember that for next time, maybe for the opening night of the festival.
Without a doubt, yeah, we'll have to put him up to it next.
Some feather boas or something. I'm sure we can work something out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, from that point of view, I just think very entertaining and quite charismatic. So yeah, one for the Lord Mayor.
Great. Yeah. So look, it's really an exciting time of the year. As I said, we'll talk about the program in more detail, what's coming up queer film-wise next week's show. Check it out online if you want to find out what's coming out and get your tickets organised.
Yep.
Quick, smart.
Absolutely.
We're also talking Oscars because the Oscars are on a Monday. They're noon our time, Australian time. We've had a few people who have called in to let us know what their favourite, what their pick is. John has called in and said, The King's Speech, please. Also, Adam Todd, who's panelling for us, he thinks The Kids Are All Right should win it. And I have to admit, I am kind of with him. I would love for it to win.
I know.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I know.
James from Paran has also said he's loving the show. Thanks, James. And the Oscars should get back to populist roots and vote The Social Network as the winner. Well, I actually do agree with that as well.
Yeah, me too.
And Jill is also, she is loving the show, and she doesn't care about who wins the Oscar because she hasn't said what her favourite pick is.
Go, Jill.
So, Alan, who would you like to win the Best Picture category?
Of the field, and this is a purely emotional response.
Yes.
Visceral, I should say. That would have to be Black Swan.
Wow.
That is the film that I enjoyed the most.
Yes.
And the one that I've talked about the most.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is quite an immersive experience because it's told from the perspective of the main character. It's a little bit harrowing at times.
Yeah, and it's polarised so many people. Like, I've literally almost come to blows.
Really?
With one guy, yes.
That's how far you take your film reviewing.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Like a film lecture at one of the universities around here, so.
And he didn't like it.
I wonder if you're listening.
Oh.
Hi, Mehmet.
I mean, I think what is going to happen is often the case is that in other categories, these films are set to shine. So really, Black Swan, Natalie Portman is leading the race for the Best Actress Award, and she's up against Annette Bening in The Kids Are All Right. I would love for Annette Bening to win, but I think that maybe the tide might be for Natalie Portman.
It's got to be Natalie.
I think, and in the Best Picture category, really the pundits – have narrowed it down to The King's Speech and The Social Network. So for my money, I would like The Social Network to win, yep, because I think it's a really, it's a film of our time. It's a Aaron Sorkin, I believe, is one of the greatest film writers ever.
Yep.
He is amazing. David Fincher is also a very accomplished director. And they managed to bring this film and this character who is so unlikable and give it some, it's just feels so contemporary and actually has so much to say about our culture.
Oh, without a doubt. And in fact, for a biopic, because essentially that's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely the best that I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's really, it's so, so witty and sophisticated and so, I mean, and the performances are fantastic.
Hey, is the screenwriter, the script writer, the writer?
He is nominated. Oh. Absolutely. So, yeah. Once again, sometimes what happens is that they, you know, that they go into other categories. So I think that he will be top of the list, though he is also up against Danny Boyle for 127 Hours. Mm. Toy Story 3, which is just has topped the reviewers list for their favourite films. We both
haven't
seen it. No, we both. Well, you haven't seen it. So
I have seen Toy Story 3.
Have you?
I have.
And you didn't?
In 3D, no less.
Really?
Yes.
And that didn't, it didn't work for you?
Well, you know, it was emotional. I had a tear at the end. Don't get me wrong. It was cute, but like best picture, come on.
Well, really? It's probably going to win best animated film.
Yes.
Paul Tonta, it's one of his favourite films of last year.
Yep.
And also in the best screenwriting is True Grit, The Coen Brothers and Winter's Bone by Deborah Granik. I think what's really annoying for me is, and this is just my own personal picking, is that once again, there are no women who are nominated in the Best Director category. Last year was an absolute milestone.
That's correct.
Because for the first time ever, a woman won the Best Directing category, and actually the film won Best Film.
That's
which
right.
is pretty... I mean, it's just this is the 83rd year of the Oscars, and to never have that before is amazing.
It is. Well, but of course we've reached that milestone. So
yes, but of course that's all gone by the wayside now. So even though The Kids Are All Right is nominated across numerous categories, the writer-director of that film, Lisa Chelogenko, is not nominated for Best Director. She is nominated for Best Screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of like one of those, we'll throw you this bone because we're not going to give you the Best Director. And also, Winter's Bone, directed by Deborah Granik, she's not nominated either in the Best Directing category, once again in the Writing category.
That's correct. So
it's soft.
Do you really feel as if there is an anti-female bent to Best Directors in Hollywood?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they are such a small proportion of the industry. So, you know, really, well, that's just my own private, I'm getting on my own private high horse now. Don't get me started.
Well, there's hope for next year.
Oh, that's good. And we've also had Tessa. She has written in and said that she thinks The King's Speech for sure. However, Black Swan was also very good.
Yay, Tessa.
So we'll be drawing the prize when we come back for the double pass for The Girl Who Kicks the Hornet's Nest. But this is, right now, this is Lady Hawk with Magic on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Alan on Joy 94.9.
Gay and lesbian radio, Joy 94.9.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Alan on Joy 94.9. Okay. We have a winner for our prize draw to go into the tickets for The Girls Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. That title is really long and a bit of a mouthful. Chris from Footscray, he said that he would like The Social Network to win. So those tickets are on their way to you, Chris. Thanks for letting us know.
Well done.
And thanks to everyone for contributing. We're always so interested to find out what other people think about these hot topics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have our own opinion.
That's right.
And they're obviously right, but everyone else is allowed to.
Some more than others.
Well, that is very true. It's been so much fun having you behind the microphone again, Alan.
Thanks, Kylie. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining me. Now, next week, Paul will be back in the hot seat. And look, there's so many film festivals coming up. So before we even get to the Queer Film Festival the following week, first we have to talk about the French Film Festival.
Yeah.
We'll also be talking about the Fashion Film Festival. I know, it runs as part of the fashion, the Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's a new Aussie film called Wasted on the Young that we'll be reviewing. You've already had it. And we might even throw in a bit of a blockbuster with Matt Damon's new film, The Adjustment Bureau. So it's another packed show next week. So please join us then.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, That's it. No more film reviews for the day. I'd like to thank Adam Todd for panelling for us. It's been great, Adam, to have him in the studio, and stay tuned for him because Bandcamp is coming up. Plus, we'd also like to thank Michael on Front Desk for fielding all those calls and SMSs and drawing the winner. So,
thanks, Kylie.
Until next week, we'll see you at the movies. This has been Pink Popcorn on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.